peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Some people think he's divisive. Other people think that she is divisive. I do know this. The nation is divided. I'm talking about Trump. I'm talking about Clinton. And if you're really for one or the other, you'll find yourself being very uncomfortable with other people who have another point of view. It's just normal. Even in a household, people could be divided. Some say that Trump is very divisive. Some people say that Hillary is very divisive. Even Obama, some people claim that. Now, whether it's true or not, it's their perception. But when people come together with different views, there's conflict and there is division. Even probably in this room alone, if we were to go in the multi-purpose room and talk, there probably would be different opinions. But there's one person in history that is more divisive than all of these people. You know who he is? Jesus. Doesn't that sound crazy? But it's true. Jesus is divisive. I've never said that before in my life, but it's true. He divides people. Those who are for him and those who are against him. Jesus said it himself. If you're not for me, you are against me. Jesus is divisive. In other words, people have to decide whether they are for Jesus or whether they're not for Jesus. Of all the people in the world, there has been so much written about Jesus Christ. You can't compare it to anybody that I named, anybody that you could ever think of in history. Bach, Beethoven, great people, people that people know. Houdini, people know these names. But the one name that goes down in history that divides people, that has been written about so many times, for and against. There are people that say, no, this is Jesus, he's the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world, and people confess that in writing. Tomes have been written about him. And on the other side of the coin, people have said, no, he's a false prophet, he's just a teacher, he's just a rabbi. And it's amazing that people still talk about him today. People still take sides. It's a very emotional issue. And if it's not an emotional issue, if people aren't taking sides, we might want to look at that. I think there are two reasons why Jesus caused division. I think there are two reasons why he was divisive. Number one, he spoke the truth. You know, if you want to be elected to office or if you want a position, most likely you'll tell people what they want to hear. You know, you go in for an interview for a job, sure, I'll work 80 hours. Yes, I won't sleep. I'll be on call 24 hours. You'll say whatever you want them to hear. You'll do the Dale Carnegie. You'll tell them what they want to hear because you want that position. You want that job. You might even lie to them. Jesus never lied, right? Never. He told the people the truth. He said in the gospel that we just heard this morning, don't think that I came to bring peace. Now, he was saying it in the city of peace, Jerusalem, which has never been a city of peace, never, even to this day. Don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth, rather a sword. What does a sword do? Divides people. And so he spoke the truth. He didn't hold back, especially against the Pharisees and the scribes. This is one of the reasons why they sent him to Calvary. In contrast, we see in the Old Testament in Jeremiah that the prophets who are not sent by God are speaking lies. They're having dreams, they're having visions, but they're not sent by God. They run and they prophesy. In short, they're telling people what they want to hear. They are yes men. Now, here's the context, I should say. Jeremiah, called by God from the womb, knows that they're going to go into exile because of their sin. So he's called to speak against them. He's called to point out their sin, to preach the law, which is never popular. You never want to say something to a person that's going to offend them. But Jeremiah has to do that. He's saying to them, we're going to go into exile because of our sin. But then you have other prophets that say, don't listen to him. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. Peace and safety. Follow your conscience. And they were liars. And so this is what Jeremiah had to say. He said, these prophets and these ministers, these people who come forth and say peace where there is no true peace, they're just lying. And so Jesus, the same, he says there's going to be no peace. There's going to be no peace in Jerusalem. Rather, there's going to be a sword. And I knew he knew in 70 AD what would happen. There would be division. And there would be division even before that. In a family, there would be division. Father against son. If there were five members in a family, three would be against two. What would the division be over? Well, it wouldn't be politics. It would be Jesus. Because some Jewish people would say yes to Jesus, and other Jewish people would say no to Jesus. And so that was the division. Should this surprise us that daughter would be against mother? Now, certainly we knew that mother and daughter-in-law wouldn't get along, or daughter and daughter-in-law wouldn't get along. We've seen that, right? I've seen that many times. But the issue here is Jesus telling the truth, bringing the truth to light, and people rejecting. And why do they reject? Because they don't want to have their sins brought to light. They don't want to have their sins pointed out, and therefore they reject him. However, those who recognize that they're sinners, those who recognize that they have sinned in thought, word, and deed, not just something we say or rattle off, but something we truly feel in our hearts, then we accept the truth. Because we know that right behind judgment and right behind law is mercy, is forgiveness and grace for all people. His mercy is new every morning. And so he brings both law and he brings both gospel. He brings the truth, that sword that divides. For those of us who follow in the footsteps of Christ, we are called, as we prayed in the collect this morning, to follow in his way. What does that mean? It means to live in the truth. It means not just to say the truth as we confess in the creed, but live that truth. So what part of your life that you hide away from Christ? What part of your life that you don't want him to point out to you, that you might feel uncomfortable with? Each one of us is different. Each one of us has a different experience. But what is that one or two aspects of our life that we just don't want to hear it? We don't want to have our sin pointed out, our hypocrisy pointed out, because there'll be suffering. And that's the key. There'll be suffering. To be real, to come clean, to confess one's sin, it does require suffering, because it's a dying to self. And we don't like that. I'm glad Kathy this morning read more of the epistle than we had printed, because it goes on to talk about the fact that those who followed God recognized that they had to face suffering. Moses was a great example. Moses recognized that he wanted the wealth of Jesus over the wealth of Pharaoh. In other words, he had to choose which family to belong to. Rather than being a son of Pharaoh, of the daughter of Pharaoh, he chose to be part of a different tribe, a different family. And it caused suffering for him. And it also caused suffering for us, because I don't know about you and your family, but I can tell you about my family, but just think about your family. Is there division? Are there people that say you're crazy for being here, or you're crazy for supporting the church, or you're crazy because you're a Christian? Well, maybe if they're not saying anything, maybe we should look at that. Maybe we're not speaking up. You know, it's normal. We want to be accepted. We want to be loved. And most people hate to be rejected. But that's what Jesus calls us to. It's not an easy life. Telling people what they want to hear on key issues, and I'm not going to go through the key issues, but controversial issues, matters of conscience, it's never an easy thing. But the core is Christ, because people are divided when it comes to Christ. They are. They have to be. It's not about Trump. It's not about Clinton. It's not about politics. It's not about anything. What it comes down to is which side are you on when it comes to Jesus? It will always be that way, here in time and also here in eternity. Because when Christ comes back in all of his glory, what will he do? He will divide all of the nations, won't he? Between the sheep and the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And so there will be a division then, as there is a division now. And so it's a high calling to follow our Lord. It's not an easy calling at all, because it requires suffering, as Moses was the example, as all of those people that Kathy read were an example. Some of them were even sawn in half. They were rejected, just as Jesus Christ was rejected. But the good news is that Jesus is mercy for us. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter the rejection that we feel or experience from family or friends or even strangers. What the writer of Hebrews sets before us is Christ. Let us focus on Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's the model. That's the example. Because Christ knew that death was not our enemy. Christ knew that death was not the last say. Many of you will be here this afternoon with our brother Ray. Death isn't the last say. Suffering isn't the last say. All of those prophets that were worthy, all of those people who spoke the truth and suffered, knew that they were going towards a country that was better than what they could handle here, what they could touch here, what they could experience here. Because every one of them knew that everything that was here was temporary, all of it. And they were looking for something better. And that's what divides people. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.